The views and opinions expressed on this program aren't necessarily those of this station, but those of the sponsors, Armada Advisors.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel. I have Wesley Odom from Armada Advisors in the studio this morning. Let us know if you have questions. 437-1620, armadaadvisors.com. Navigating clients to their financial destination since 2009. Check out their new location over 1800 North East Street or give them a call today, 850-497-6167. Mr. Odom, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, thank you, Jake. Yes. It's good to be here on a little rainy day.
Yeah, it's a little bit nasty out there, but it's starting to clear up. Talking about clearing up, what's going on with the U.S. stock market right now?
Well, you know, last year we had a great year. I think that some of more conservative clients were in the 20% range, and more aggressive clients were in 30s to 73 or something. It was crazy good. And I think that euphoria has kind of spilled over a little bit in 2024, partly because, number one, and we've said this before on the radio show, 82% of the time during a presidential election year, the stock market's always positive, so that you've got that momentum going into 2024. The other thing is there was a really good comments that were made that made people feel like that the Federal Reserve might cut interest rates. And a lot of people got on the bandwagon with that. And you know, if you don't know this, you know, lowering interest rates in any kind of environment is like giving cocaine to an addict. I mean, you know, it's just like very yeah. excited because it means money is free and you know, or less expensive and you can easily get it, you know, from a corporate standpoint to a consumer standpoint because the interest rates are lower. So that bodes well for a stock market. So that kind of led into the frenzy. The other thing that happened is you had some earnings reports that came out. There were fourth quarter earnings for some of the big players mm-hmm. saying that, hey, this we had some really good numbers last quarter. I mean, making money, you know, things look good. You know, they let the good times roll, that kind of stuff. But then you had, you know, companies like Home Depot. I'm going to just comment on them who said, well, you know, we had good numbers, but the numbers continue to decline on our overall, you know, the sales numbers continue to decline. And that but despite that, we're going to continue to raise our dividend. Mm. And that's good news in the sense they're raising their dividend. I mean, this is a company that's raised their dividend over 600% in the last 10 years. I mean, phenomenal if you're an income and growth seeker. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's companies out there are telling us that there is definitely something going on. And another thing that I tend to look at different things in the sector, like different stocks out there. And there was this one stock I was looking at the other day. I call it Easy Peasy, but it's basically Easy Corp, which is a pawn shop company. Wow. And generally, when pawn shops do poorly is when, like, they have an abundance of cash out there. In other words, like 2020, 2021, if you look at pawn companies and shops, they do really poorly because that way people have already got a lot of cash. We were getting in the COVID period, people were getting a lot of payouts. You had all the thing else for the people, companies getting payouts from the government. I forget what those programs were called right now. But, you know, that happened in 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. And so that, and during that period, the pawn shops did really poorly. Hmm. Well, now what have the pawn shops been doing? Making money.
Oh, yeah, because people need to pawn all their stuff.
Right. And you're seeing this company make all-time highs. Mm. So I think there's a divergence that's occurring. And another thing I would really worry about is, you know, through February, the market was up about 8% from January 1st to end of February. Okay. Now, let's annualize that. That's 2 months. So two divided into 12 is six, right? Six right. times eight, 48%. Is it likely that the market would go up another 8% every 2 months? and we'd annualize at 48?
Probably
I doubt
not.
It. Yeah. I doubt it. So I'm, you know, yesterday I think I probably bought about, I don't know, almost $500,000 worth of bonds for different clients because the rates are good. There's some good rates out there that we could get from 6% to 8%. The risk there is, and we're keeping maturities relatively low, like 1.5 years or less, because, you know, that's a good yield to get when you've got a rally, and we've had such a strong rally right now. So it doesn't mean you get out of stocks altogether. No, I don't think you need to do that. But I think you got to be really wary on what to buy and what's going up so much and see where it is based upon its earnings, you know, and its projections.
A particular stock that we were discussing on the break here is SMCI. It closed at just over $86 a share 2 years ago, but now it's over $1,000 and it's in the S&P. So what is SMCI? What do we need to know about this?
Well, the company's called Super Micro Computer. Mm-hmm. And it's actually down a little bit today. Needs to be down. It's so high up. But what they do is they do these high speed servers, or I call them computers, at these facilities that will allow for high speed processing of information. So, you know, if you've got an internet and you need to go on the internet, and you need to be able to get your information fast. No one wants to sit like they did back in the 1990s and early 2000s.
The dial up.
Oh my God.
You've got mail.
Oh my gosh. It's loading, you right. know, and you were patient.
Get off the phone. I'm on the internet.
Gosh, I remember those days. It's amazing. And now it's like, if it doesn't come up in like 2 seconds, you're like, what? And you're like right. wanting to hit your computer and you know, that's not going to do anything. But anyway, this company is fitting that niche. And they're expanding into these things. And Dell actually had a really good earnings print yesterday, I think it was, where they're making money, not necessarily in their laptops, for example, but they're growing mostly in the server space, where their people need that internet to be really, really fast.
Right.
So that presents a niche, and this is a niche company, and it's why it's done extremely well. I don't think I have more than, you know, maybe a handful of folks who are even in it, because it is very aggressive. Mm.
And why do you think other chip companies are not really experiencing this sort of growth? Why is SMCI so good?
Well,
you mentioned Dell as well, but
I think that they're doing a specific niche, not like the chips per se. They're doing the servers that trying to engineer their products so it goes really, really fast. You know, to my recollection, they're not. They might be putting, you know, an AMD chip or something in it. I don't quote me on this.
Right.
I mean, I'm just an example. I don't know that much. I haven't drilled down that much about this. This is not a core position by any stretch of the imagination. It's just something out there that, you know, it's very aggressive, and it's something that, you know, when I did a valuation the other day, and it found out, you know, for my taste, I wouldn't want to buy new money in this today. I just wouldn't want to do it. I'd wait on a pullback, maybe, and a significant pullback at that. Mm.
Let's talk about something that I need clarification on this. What exactly, and I've heard this before in the news, what is a meme stock?
You know, a meme stock is one of those, like a popular kind of thing it really has no fundamental basis. The good example was AMC. People were really into AMC after when Corona happened, and the stock shot up because people, after Corona happened, people wanted to go to the get out and see a movie. And so they had a little, you know, rally, if you want to call it that. And you had a bunch of, and that was a meme stock, because fundamentally, you know, for year after year, we've seen less and less people go into the movie theaters because why? You know, it's easy. They got Netflix at home.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
sit there and be a couch potato and not worry about dressing up. Of course, when you go out and watch a movie these days, sometimes you see people who maybe look like they did come from the pajama world, you know, and just wandered out of bed. Yeah. So anyway, things aren't like they used to be back when I was younger or whatever, you know. And by the way, today is my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So
very cool.
Anyway, it was I got to make that celebration. It's good to be around another year on the planet.
Yeah. Hey, well, you only turned 28 once, so enjoy it, sir. Enjoy it. All right. So everybody seems to hang on certain people when they talk about the market. One of these people being Warren Buffett, of course. A few days ago, he stated that he's seeing like this casino-like behavior in the financial markets, which I would think, you know, is pretty normal. But as a seasoned financial advisor, as you are, 28 years young today, do you agree or disagree with Mr. Buffett usually when he comes out and says things like this?
I agree with the old codger. I'll call him an old codger. He agrees with that. I mean, he's in his 80s, and you know, I'm in my 50s. So
he's almost old enough to be president.
Actually, he might be too old. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
But anyway,
he's rich.
He's ultra rich. So. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with him. I think that, you know, I can't. That's why I bought so many bonds yesterday. I mean, I wanted to look. I mean, there's certain stocks that, you know, in the last few weeks we've added good positions on and we've seen really good rallies. And I think there's more potential in them. One of them we mentioned on the radio recently was Celsius. You know, that was one that we've had in the portfolio. And that is, and they announced phenomenal fourth quarter numbers that shot their stock an additional 20%, I think, in a day or something. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know it, I mean, Celsius is a soft drink. In that sector of non-alcoholic drinks, they command like anywhere from, depending on what part of the country, 11 to 15% of the market share. Wow. And unlike some of its biggest competitors would be a company like Monster, it has actually good minerals in the particular drink, if you want to consider the other one. And they have all these scientific studies to show that they're actually a healthier drink. And so you have a lot of people in fitness gyms and whatnot who are reaching for the Celsius because it is healthier, more healthy for you. It still has that good old caffeine rush, but it doesn't have the sugar. It has stevia, they even have non-carbonated versions, you know, if you don't want the carbonation. I mean, a lot of varieties. So if you go frequently go by Walmart to get some of the stuff, you might find that there's very few cases left.
Right.
Because there are people buying the fool out of it because it's a good alternative to a Coke or some other drinks. I mean, much mm-hmm. better alternative.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have the – anyway, so it's all natural kind of stuff, green tea in it, things like that.
Right.
So anyway, I mean, that stock is something that I think that, you know, is a consumer staple. And I've said throughout this whole year that one of the sectors to be in this year is probably consumer staples. That's a great sector to be in. And, you know, they went from $600 million in sales, I think, last year – or the year before last, rather, and this year I think they did – like 1.5 billion, something like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, you're talking like incredible numbers. I mean, in a year, you have your sales, your revenue doubles. I mean, if
that
happened to every company, we'd be like, happy days are here again.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Well, talking about staples and things that we buy at the grocery store, you know, we've seen rising prices for all Americans. You know, we've got, you know, all kinds of inflation happening. But the market continues to go up. We're headed towards what looks like a bull market, right? So that to me seems a little counterintuitive to what I've been seeing and what I have been scared by on the news when they tell me, oh, you know, this is all going downhill, but yet the market continues to go up. What's up with that?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that the four sectors we talked about earlier that we kind of focus on right now, those sectors being staples, real estate, healthcare and energy, you know, those are up around 4.4% year to date compared to the S&P's up 8 through February. And, you know, I think that it just makes sense to be cautious right now. You know, it's unlikely that some of these stocks, and I love NVIDIA, and as you know, we had in our portfolio for a few years now. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, but do you really want to buy at the stage we're in right now? So I think it's there's some expensive stocks. I agree with Warren Buffett. You should be very cautious what you buy. Know what you're buying. Don't just arbitrarily buy an S&P fund right now. I think that's the wrong answer. Mm. I think you're gonna feel it when the pullback occurs. And we're seeing a lot of things like you know, even gold going up. Bitcoin is going up like crazy, which is another story. But you know, I mean, you know, all these things like Warren Buffett kind of alludes to are concerns. And that's why you got to be look at see what are safer alternatives. You know, does it make more sense to go with something that is not up 200%, you know, but it's got a good maybe good business model and is priced right and likelihood that they're going to have the pricing power to be able to increase their cost of goods or to increase sales and you know continue to move forward. And so that's what I think what we're trying to focus on right now.
Hmm. my guest this morning, Wesley Odom. It's his birthday today. Let him know if you have any questions, 437-1620. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Check out ArmadaAdvisors.com. They have a new location here in Pensacola, 1800 North E Street. Okay, so one thing that you mentioned earlier was that, you know, the interest rates and how the Fed will, you know, adjust them up and down, and still, you know, it hasn't decreased a whole lot. But do you think that the you know, the real estate market is good to be in right now? Because if the rates do decrease, then people have, you know, they see all this money floating around, they think, oh, it's time to buy and finance these purchases for homes and things like that. Do you see that happening?
I think that real estate, just like any stocks, I mean, you can't say all the market's bad or all the real estate is bad or whatever. There are always opportunities out there. And if the numbers work and it makes sense and the location's right, then you have to respect that. I think that and I was talking to a good friend of mine, his realtor, David Irwin, the other day. And you know, he said that it's a challenging market, I mean, right now, because you've got more than a couple things going wrong. Number one, insurance rates to insure the properties have gone up huge.
Yep.
Okay. And when you buy a new house, they're going to give you their going rate. So that's just standby to standby. And then the other thing that's going up is taxes. I don't know if you realize that when the city of Pensacola published, like they have to publish when they raise their taxes, whatever, what the budget's going to be. And their budget increased by 12%, the city budget did. I mean, 12% tax increases on their revenue. So, I mean, that's huge. So that says a lot. Then, you know, okay, taxes are going up. So taxes are high. Insurance is going out of sight. And then also, what else can we throw in the mix? Interest rates are not the cheapest.
Right.
They've gone down a tad. Mm-hmm. So, in essence, what you've got to do is you've got to be very creative about your financing. You've got to really buy at a good price and good value. And I think what's happening is you have, and if you look at it, I remember a few years ago when you looked at the Pensacola market on a real estate site, you can see very few houses for sale. And now you see a lot more. I mean, we're now in inventory more than we had probably, you know, during the Corona, definitely. I don't know what the exact number is. You had called my friend David and ask him about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm just saying that I think that it makes sense if the numbers work. And you always, it's about anything, you have to look at the numbers. And you also have to look at, am I going to be able to use this? Does it make sense? But I think ultimately, you know, we live in Florida, and Florida is a place where people want to come, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Our taxes are lower than a lot of other places.
Right. No state income tax.
No state income tax.
Thank goodness.
Right. And as a result of that, you know, you've got people are going to come here. So what's going to happen is your house might be for sale for a lot longer than you'd like. But I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, you just got to prepare for that. I would really caution people from running out and buying the new house on the belief that, well, I'll just sell mine later. You know, might want to just do opposite first. Mm-hmm. You know, get that money underneath your belt, then go buy the new house, because guarantee you, it's probably going to be available when you're looking.
Right. Talking about interest rates, it affects our credit, you know, right now, Americans are holding more than $1 trillion in credit card debt. That's the highest amount ever being held on credit cards in our history. So do you think this is good or bad for the economy?
Well, ultimately, it's bad, but I'll tell you what. I had a client the other day I talked to about it. He told me exactly the same thing you said. I have high interest credit card debt. I feel certain that the market's a little high right now. I want to go ahead and cash out a huge portion of my money and just pay those off. And for him, it made sense because he was retired. He's already on Social Security. He made I think his Amazon was up 500 some odd percent. So, I mean, it was a good day to cash out some securities, you know.
So the penalty, was there a penalty involved with that?
No, he was already retired. He's already over 59 and a half.
Okay.
So there's no penalty. He just had
that
to pay the taxes. So
okay.
I think and then another person called the other day, wanted to do something similar. So I think that there's people out there who are saying, oh, yeah, let's just go ahead and do that. And it makes sense. You know, think about it. When I first meet somebody and find out they have credit card debt, first thing I say is, hey, how much are you paying on that? And they go, oh, maybe 20%. I said, well, how about if I can guarantee you making 20%? They go, how do you do that? Pay that debt.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
And they look at me like, well, that's no fun.
Well, It's well, no, that's it's real. No fun having that credit card either.
That's right. So pay that off, then come see me, you know?
Right. We had David Wayne in our newsroom earlier talking about the this roller coaster of a ride we've had with our cryptocurrencies this week. It's been kind of maddening. Bitcoin has increased more than 198% in the last year. Do you believe that cryptocurrency has a place in people's retirement portfolios, or is this still just kind of, yeah, stay away from it?
I personally don't get into Bitcoin because, I mean, if it all were to, if all of a sudden tomorrow someone said, you know, this was all a scam and it never did exist, people would go, I believe that.
Right.
I mean, they would. I mean, because yeah. there's nothing to back it up. I mean, when FTX was going strong, you know, and that was the place you wanted to own your crypto, when it shut down and people lost billions of dollars, and there's some people say, well, those people could afford to lose it. Well, when you lose money, period, you get upset.
Right.
Okay. So that guy jilted people out of all that money. Now, I frankly think that by SEC, by making Bitcoin more ubiquitous or available to people to buy, they've made it really easy for organized crime to launder money. I mean, it's a great way, you know, to do it. So anyway, I just think that it wouldn't be something I would bet the bank on.
Right.
If you're very aggressive and you can accept it in your portfolio, I probably wouldn't do more than maybe 2%, you know, if that, if you want to be that aggressive with it. But to me, there's, I mean, there's nothing to hold it up. I mean, it's just, it's gold is a lot more, and I'm not a gold bug, but gold is a lot more safe than Bitcoin ever was.
And we're going to talk about gold and silver options here coming up after the Fox News break. Don't go anywhere. Send us your questions before we run out of time. 437-1620. My guest this morning, Wesley Odom from Armada Advisors. It's his birthday today. Send him some love, 437-1620. And check out armadaadvisors.com. They're navigating clients to their financial destinations since 2009. They have that new location here in Pensacola, 1800 North E Street. Or just give them a call, 497-6167. Yeah, gold and silver, I hear it on TV all the time. The first thing that I thought of, and we'll talk about this more after the break, is if gold and silver are such a great investment, why are they so ready to accept my cash in place of their gold and silver? It's like, why wouldn't they want to keep it? So that's just something I was kind of wondering about.
Repeat that again now. Right.
So if gold and silver are such a good investment, why are all these companies on television just ready to sell me their gold and silver?
Oh,
why wouldn't they keep it and not want my paper cash? You know, am I wrong in thinking that way? It's like, well, if it's so good, why are you so ready to sell it to me?
Well, they do have a huge markup. I mean, you know, you're talking like I know in like we talked about this before on a show. There's sometimes a markup of 30% to buying a coin versus the actual
bar
element itself.
Or bullion,
yeah, the bullion, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, why would you want the picture of the eagle versus owning the bar? And ultimately, what you're seeking for, you're seeking that diversification play, you know, for owning gold. You know, why would you want to do that? So, it only makes sense to me if, and we do it through we custody through Fidelity. Most of our clients are custody there, which means we hold the assets at Fidelity. And I've actually bought silver bars and silver coins and gold bullion and gold coins for clients through Fidelity. And the reason I do that is because it's a lot less expensive than going to these guys. You know, you sometimes hear somewhere
else. Capital companies. Yeah. They've got somebody on there from Knott's Landing, you know, selling you gold coins, and it just seems a little weird to me. We did have a question just come in on the text line. Let's see here. They need help with navigating a Roth withdrawal. So we'll definitely talk about that coming up after the Fox News break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Get your questions in, 437-1620. Lots of good information we're covering here. We're going to talk about gold and silver as an investment strategy and just talk about all the things in the market that you might be wondering about. Let us know if you have any questions. Wesley Odom, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. That's so awesome. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today. You totally could have played hooky and just skipped out.
I know, but that's not me. I'm working it.
Yeah, you're here to help us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this with more Pensacola Expert Panel.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. There are 15 states holding primaries today, awarding more than a third of the Republican candidates' delegate counts.
Donald Trump with 273, Nikki Haley with only 43. You need just over 1,200 in order to secure the nomination. Haley obviously has a lot of catching up to do as we head into this Super Tuesday.
Fox's Bill Malugin. A 19-year-old is killed in a wholesale warehouse explosion in Clinton Township, Michigan. It's more than 1,000 feet away, just watching, according to the fire chief.
Chief Tim Duncan telling Fox News that nitrous oxide tanks exploded, sending metal canisters and shrapnel.
Probably a good quarter mile in each direction. Just the immense amount of projectiles, the steel flying through the air.
A firefighter also hurt. Homes around the plant were evacuated.
Fox's Jeff Manasso. The initial explosion was reportedly a truckload of butane. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 10:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 66 degrees. It is a cloudy and rainy day in Pensacola. Well, there's a lot of fentanyl and other drugs now off the streets. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they're looking for the person they suspect of trafficking
590 grams of methamphetamine. That's over half a kilo of methamphetamines. 170 grams of cocaine. 699 grams or 700 grams of fentanyl, which is almost a kilo of fentanyl as well.
That's like a pound and a half of fentanyl.
It is a ton of fentanyl. And if you look at it, and you know, we always do this kind of thing so people have an idea, because 2 micrograms can be fatal, according to DEA. That would be enough to kill everyone in Escambia County plus 25,000 visitors.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says deputies are now looking for 42-year-old David Denver Holland. Simmons says deputies were able to identify Holland as the person they believe was driving the vehicle those drugs were found in, but he'd walked away from the scene before they were able to detain him. If you have any information on Holland's location, you should contact the sheriff's office or call Crime Stoppers. Two men now facing child porn charges in Walton County. The sheriff's office there announcing yesterday two men from Dafuniac Springs were arrested last week. 66-year-old Enoch Smallwood was arrested Thursday, and 38-year-old David Case was arrested Wednesday. Deputies say both arrests were made after they got tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And taking a look at our financial market today, your money now. The Wall Street opening lower after Monday's pullback. Investors bracing for more economic data this week leading up to Friday's monthly jobs report. Target shares up 10% in early trading. And at the opening bell, the Dow Jones Industrial had fallen about 100 points. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ also lower today. The FAA's audit of Boeing showing multiple issues with the manufacturer's production practices. The six-week probe is in response to a door plug that blew out of an Alaskan Airlines flight on January 5th. And increases in the sale of hybrid and electric vehicles in February led to an 11% sales increase at Ford. The automaker reported sales of just over 174,000 vehicles last month compared to 157,000 at the same time 1 year ago. Next news at 11. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
The life of every child is precious beyond measure. If you care for a child with a disability and have limited income and resources, help is available. Children with a physical or mental disability or who are blind may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. The program provides help to meet basic needs for food, clothing, or a place to live, and disability-related needs. It's money that can make a meaningful difference. If you're the parent or caregiver of a child or teenager you think may be eligible, call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSIKids to learn how to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSIKids. It's real help for the children. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Throughout our history,
I believe the time has come to bring that investigation and the other investigations of this matter to an end. 1 year of Watergate is enough.
Presidents have delivered the annual State of the Union address.
And I must say to you that the State of the Union is not good.
President Biden will give his third State of the Union address.
Hear it live Thursday at 8 p.m. along with the Republican rebuttal by Alabama Senator Katie Britt on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
They talk about the U.S. inflation. I understand just a little.
And we're back for our second half of our hour with Wesley Odom, the birthday boy, here in our studio for the Pensacola Expert Panel. Check out armadaadvisors.com. They have a new location here in Pensacola, right across from the Baptist property, 1800 North E Street. Get your questions in, 437-1620. Right before the break, we did get a question here from a listener. They need to navigate a Roth IRA withdrawal. They said they made too much money last year and they're unable to contribute to the Roth IRA. Can they just pull that money out without any issues?
They can pull out the money.
Okay.
If they've made any money in the Roth, let's say they put in, you know, $5,000 and it's grown to $30 or $50 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, in the time period or more, they would pay a penalty only on the portion of the growth. So, you know, assuming they're less than 59.5, this is what I'm assuming.
Okay.
And so that would mean that, you know, if it's a $50 growth, you'd only pay a 10% penalty on that, or, you know, that issue, or that $50. I mean, 10% of $50 is what, $5 or something, you know? So, or no,
they did follow up and they say they did contribute the maximum amount for 2023, but TurboTax is telling them that they have to pull out approximately $5,030 from both his account and his wife's account. Well, TurboTax.
Yeah, you go ahead. You need to pull it out because you made too much money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And probably you were covered by a retirement plan at work, I'm thinking, maybe, which kind of hurt the income caps. But you know what you can do is, and this is what a lot of people will end up doing, they'll put it back in the IRA, but then they'll convert it to a Roth. There is no limit on how much you make when you convert from an IRA to a Roth. So I did this. I think everyone's done this, and at one point in time they've made this mistake. They put money, too much money, in the Roth or whatever, and then all of a sudden find out, just like this gentleman did, we made too much money. Oops, we got to put it in the IRA. You put it in the IRA, and then immediately you convert it back into the Roth. So it's the biggest runaround. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what I would do.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your questions. If you have any more, let us know. 437-1620. Somebody texted in, any recommendations or cautions on all of the trading apps that are available? I see commercials for these all the time, like Acorn, Robinhood. We've got E-Trade and all that kind of stuff. What about these apps? What do you think about them?
Well, I mean, they're a way to get people invested, which mm-hmm. is probably a good thing. I think that Fidelity, which we use as custodian, has the best platform out there. They're the largest provider of investment, you know, for folks in the world. So why would you not want to do business with number one, so to speak?
Right.
Robinhood and whatnot, from what I understand, they the execution prices you get are not the best. So what that means is they might say, oh, well, there's no commission. I don't know if there is or not. I'm not that familiar with Robinhood other than the fact that it exists. And what I do know, though, is execution prices, if you think you're buying it at $30, let's say, the stock, it might give you an execution price of $30 and a quarter. And you think, oh, okay, well, I just got to pay a little bit more. Well, who do you think got that quarter?
Right.
Robinhood did. Mm-hmm. And of course, they might say, oh, we didn't charge a commission. Well, then we kept a quarter of the trade, mm-hmm. you know. What percent is that, you know? So, anyway, you just got to be careful when you do that. Make sure it's clear. And I don't think those guys are as clear as they'd like to be.
And they would love it if you just got on there and traded all day long because they get that little cut every time, you know. So.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we talk about Armada a lot here on the show with you. And you definitely recommend Armada. What, besides retirement planning, what other services do you and Armada offer your clients?
Well, we serve as a trustee for some clients who have situations where, let's say, they pass on and they need someone to kind of take care of their trust for them, that'd be a successor trustee. We've done that. We serve as power of attorney for them in certain instances where they've gone out of town, or they just don't want to deal with a certain situation. We also have a guy in the office who is qualifies as a court-appointed guardian, so he can do that. And We also do corporate retirement planning. We do some institutional stuff. So that's a lot of 401k side of business. Anyway, that's what we do.
Okay. And speaking about your birthday, of course, if you were to travel back in time, starting your first job, what is one piece of financial advice that you would tell yourself to help you set up for financial success in the future?
Start early. I mean, you know, I remember starting an IRA pretty early. I still remember the mutual fund I put it in. And, you know, I remember it went down at some point. I got a little nervous, but I didn't freak out, but I did get nervous. You know, also too, you know, it's easy to let your emotions get at the best of you sometimes. And I remember there was one instance where, you know, I bought Microsoft too early, and it went down because there was a time and Microsoft really suffered there in the 90s,
yeah,
or actually early 2000s, in 2000, 2001, 2002, that was just bad market. Technology stocks went down 20% a year every year for 3 years in a row, and that made people nervous. And I remember at some point, I don't think it was maybe after that, I ended up getting out of Microsoft. It was really just a stupid thing to do. And had I stuck in it, because the fundamentals was there to support it, I got emotionally upset about it. So I would have been made gazillion, not gazillion, but a lot of money on it. Right. So, I mean, these things happen and you just have to be careful. And that's what having done this for over 30 years, I always step back and say, okay, what's your sell discipline on this stock?
Yeah.
And what would make you, because you can't fall in love with it. A lot of people, I've seen that so many times, but I love that company. Well, you know, you might love the company, but you might not love the price.
Exactly.
When it's going down the tubes, you know?
Right.
So you gotta, and it really makes sense, I think, to kind of consult. And that's, I've gotten better about that over time, which is good.
I always hear the phrase, well, you know, oh, well, I lost money on this stock. It went down. Well, not exactly. You only lose money when you jump out. If
that's
you
true.
Stay on the ride and hope for it to rebound, you know, that's, you know, when you pull the money out, that's when you've actually lost it. So
you got to remember, though, that hope is not an investment strategy.
That's true, too. Yeah.
You know, so that's why I really got to, if you're going to go in individual stocks like via Robinhood or anything else like that, know what you're buying. And just because it's in somebody's mutual fund doesn't mean that it's a good deal. I mean, these guys can change their stories and reasonings overnight.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it before the break. Let's get to this gold and silver investing. I see it on TV every day. With rising prices, more and more Americans, particularly in the boomer generation, they are exiting the stock market. They're getting out of the volatile markets and they're investing in this gold and silver. Why do you think this is happening? And is it a viable investment strategy?
You know, it is a viable investment strategy for a portion of your assets, not to exceed 10%. So if you're real conservative, probably right now, gold is definitely on from a technical standpoint, there seems to be a lot of momentum going into the trade. It's a lot safer than I would say Bitcoin is. But I would not bet the farm on this. And there's two ways to do it. You can actually buy the gold and send it, hold it in your safety deposit box. That's one option.
Yeah.
You could hold it at a brokerage firm. That's one option. The other option is you could buy gold and give it to your wife and wear.
Right.
I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah, it's the
and
same.
That you get more brownie points for that than ever than you would just put in the safe.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, that is a real positive because, you know, if things really get bad, you know what? You can always go and sell that jewelry.
Exactly.
You know, so it does happen and pawn shops will take it.
Exactly. They will. They'll melt it down and sell it right back to somebody else.
Well, so hopefully, if it's beautiful enough jewelry, they won't melt it down.
Exactly.
I know what you mean.
All right. So, we've covered gold and silver. Let's move on. Let's talk about, I don't want to bring this up, but how does the market react? Cause we're going in, we got Super Tuesday today, you know, how does the market react if the incumbent president is voted out of office? What happens? What can we expect? Or I'm going to say, what can we expect in this?
Well, my first reaction is the majority of the country obviously wanted him out, you know, if he got voted out. But then again, you have a weird situation where the electoral college has made the decision versus the popular vote. I mean, you know, where do we go with that? You know, I think that Wall Street is not fixated on who's in the White House all the time. Mm. You know, I think they're more concerned about policy. And, you know, it takes a lot to rock the boat and to move the battleship, so to speak. And everyone knows in America we've got some daunting challenges ahead of us. I mean, namely the debt. You know, what are we going to do with it? And we're paying out a lot of benefits to a lot of people. How are we going to rein that in? You know, what's going to happen? No one knows this. And it's kind of scary. I know that there's talk about, you know, increasing taxes to corporations, possibly increasing taxes, believe it or not, to all of us. Mm-hmm. A national sales tax might be a solution, you know, to battle it. I mean, the bottom line, something's got to give. And that way, that's why it makes so much sense. Like the people put money in a Roth, which is a great strategy. Yes. I love it. Every year, you know, I'm in the same boat this gentleman was. I make too much money to put money in a Roth directly. So I have to put into an IRA and then do a Roth conversion. That way I can get it grow tax-free. Because having money growing tax-free is such a great deal when the tax man comes a-knocking. So that's what I would say.
Some clarification on that, because I sometimes get tripped up on this. So the Roth is tax-deferred, right?
No,
tax-free. But you pay the taxes up front, correct?
Right. Just like when you get your paycheck, it's all after tax.
Okay.
So if you had that money and you could go out and buy food with it, whatever, you just end up putting a portion of it into a Roth IRA, and it grows tax-free.
But if it's tax deferred on a traditional IRA, you have to be at the mercy of whatever the rates are at the time later on down the road.
Yes.
So that's the advantage of going with a Roth. Okay.
Right.
All right. And are there Roth 401ks available?
Well, yes, there are. There's ways that you can do it. But again, it's not like you can put it in pre-tax when you're Roth 401k. Mm. You have to make a decision whether you're going to put money in pre-tax or you're going to put money in after tax. And if it's after tax, it's going to go on the Roth side in that bucket. Now, generally speaking, for younger folks, it makes a lot of sense to do that, you know, Roth 401k contribution. Mm-hmm. But when you're, you know, 55 years of age, getting ready to retire in within 10 years, it doesn't make sense to probably consider that. You should really consider about tax deferral at that point, you know, and getting to deduction, because your overall bracket's not going to change measurably, perhaps. Mm.
And I just love the idea of the Roth, because I can take the money out of my account after I've already paid. It's my money. You know, it's not coming out of my check. I'm not like not seeing it. This is my money. I'm putting it here and boom, it's there and it can grow. And that's what I love about the Roth option. Talking about retirements and 401ks, saw this from Charles Schwab. They said that over 24 million, and this is crazy. This is kind of blowing my mind. 24 million forgotten 401ks are floating around out there, and it holds more than $1.3 trillion in assets. Why do you think this is, and how can one track down their lost financial accounts? Do people just lose $1.3 trillion? Is that what happens?
Collectively, they have.
Oh,
right,
man.
Exactly. What happens is people are at a job, and they get a profit-sharing contributions in some cases.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't realize it, and all of a sudden they depart the job, and they didn't realize they got this money, and it just sits there. And there is provision in retirement plans if your balance is less than, you know, $1,000, they basically kick it out to you. Mm-hmm. If it's between one and five, they can roll it over to what's called a deemed IRA, which means, again, you might not know you have it, but it's out there. And then you have over $5,000, they can keep it there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about. People have over $5,000 in assets in their 401k at some employer where they used to be. And what they need to do is they need to go out and they need to figure out, okay, where have I worked in the last 20 years? Mm. Okay. Did they or did they not have, and then inquire, do I have a balance there? Mm. And they have to tell you if you do. All right. And we actually have a guy in their office who's trained to do this. Mm. He's actually working on a case right now where someone had a similar situation. His is about worth $1.3 million.
Ooh. Wow.
And we're getting close to finding that money for that person. So it can be done. Who you want to research it. You want to, you know, we can go help you do it. You can go try to do it yourself. But bottom line is there's definitely merit in looking for the stones and overturn the stones in front of your front yard, so to speak.
Right. All right. My guest this morning, Wesley Odom, the president of Armada Advisors. Check out armadaadvisors.com. They've got some videos up there that will teach you a lot of stuff, and we're learning a lot here on the program. If you have questions, get them in before it's too late. 437-1620. One thing that I've always been told this, and I hear it from my aunts and uncles. They go, oh, well, by the time you get old enough to retire, Social Security won't be enough to buy a cup of coffee. Is that the case? Or are people, because this is actually something you turned me on to here. The National Institute of Retirement Security said that 40% of Social Security recipients rely solely on that money received from Social Security.
Right.
Okay. Why do you think this happens? And what can people who are far away in retirement do, or far away from retirement, what can they do now to prevent this? Because I don't want to be stuck at the end of my life wondering is my Social Security going to cover my rent and bills and everything?
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. Is Social Security going to be here? I think it's not going to go away. I think it's too much a political bomb. But will it meet your needs? And that's the thing. We all know people who are on Social Security only, and they're not living high and mighty.
No.
You know, and they, if they're smart, they have paid for their house, thank goodness, and they all they've got to worry about is the taxes and, of course, the insurance that keeps on increasing. And in a lot of cases, they end up cutting the windstorm because it's just too expensive to cover the windstorm. Mm. So you end up in choices that you start eliminating situations to allow you, your comfort level to be okay. And also, people will get in situations in their life and they'll feel like, you know, I'm trying too hard making things to ends meet right now. I can't afford to set aside some money for that rainy day for retirement because I'll keep on working through retirement. That's what they tell themselves.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is when you get to be the older you get, no matter what it is, you end up feeling different about things you used to not mind to do. You know, like, for example, you might have, I don't mind cutting the grass. And then one day you wake up and go, you know what? I don't want to cut the grass anymore. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, right. I don't know what it is. Oh, I don't want to get on that ladder anymore. You know, I used to do that. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it comes. And then also there's life-changing events where you have someone they've been in a marital situation. It doesn't work out. They split up. And all of a sudden, now that they've got they split the assets and there and it was okay, it was working okay together, but now it's not working as well when they're
right.
apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so in certain situations, you know, it puts people in a bad economic spot. So you really have to look out for yourself. Everyone needs to do that. And you need to obviously have faith in your partner, but you need to communicate it and come up with a plan, because there's one thing is certain, is that we're all going to get older. And you know, you got to plan for it.
Yeah, I feel bad for my wife because she has been the slow and steady wins the race, and she's worked and she's put in and she's always made good money. I've been a musician my whole life. I have not made a lot of money, so I have not paid in a lot to Social Security over time. So when it comes time for me to get my Social Security, it's going to be quite a bit less than hers. So
you know, you can solve that. You've got to get your 40 quarters in.
I know. Yeah,
you know? And you can contact Social Security Administration online. And actually put in your social and say, okay, how many quarters do you have recorded for me? Because you don't want to be in a situation where you say, oh, my gosh, I've got to run out to be the greeter at Walmart now in order to get my quarters in so I can get
right.
qualified.
Hmm.
You
okay.
know, but you
never thought about that.
So, you know, these are things you can do to get ready, and that's the things we try to, in, you know, help people with.
Hmm. Yeah. Armada Advisors, definitely check them out online, armadaadvisors.com. One thing I wanted to talk about, I hear especially Nikki Haley talk about this a lot on television. She talks about how much the national debt was added to during Trump's administration. Do you see the rising national debt having an impact on the markets and basically everybody's financial accounts in the future?
Absolutely. It's having an effect on our whole lives, and that has to do with inflation. If we did not have a national debt as big as we are today, inflation would not be as high as it is right now. Mm. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it will affect bond yields in the future. So there could come a day where all of a sudden the bond yields, the interest rates to buy things like houses could go really super high from where they are right now. And it would be all because of the fact that we've got too much debt. So, and it could come fast. I mean, it could. But it's right now it's been manageable and we're okay. But it's when it happens, it could be devastating for everybody. You know, stocks will adjust better than bonds will, because they will adjust about keeping pay, just like the price of a Coca-Cola. You know, when I was a kid, a Coke in the Coke machine was a quarter. Okay. You don't see a lot of Coke machines nowadays, but they're a lot more than a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and maybe you get a 16 ounce now versus the 12 that you used to get, but still they've gone up. So what I'm trying to say is the stock market will adjust with that inflation with time, but people's incomes won't. And right now, it's just, yes, it could happen, and I'm worried about it. Everyone should be worried about it. You know, I'm not going to try to pick on Trump, but, you know, I mean, he was a Democrat for most of his life, I think, when he lived in New York City. He only recently became a Republican. Mm. And so, anyway, he's always been, let's spend. You know, he's a guy who's built a real estate empire by borrowing lots of money.
Right.
How do you do that in real estate? You tell me you buy everything cash? No.
No.
You do a lot of mortgaging. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but it's not a one-man show. You know, Congress has to get there, pull up their sleeves and get to the bottom of this. You know, everyone wants it settled, but no one's willing to say, well, don't cancel my pension.
Right. Yeah. And I was talking about earlier about how I meant to say you talk about Fidelity a lot, not Armada. Sorry, I got my words mixed up. But you trust Fidelity, right?
Oh, Fidelity's the number one.
Number one, right? And that's why you're with them. So, right. So you can definitely trust Fidelity with your portfolio. One thing I want to get to real quick is, especially talking about, you know, politics and things like that and what's going on in the world, you know, over the Red Sea, you know, it continues to be shut down by terrorists. And I see gas prices going up here. So is that affecting the price of oil? Is that going to affect our price of gas? What can we expect to see in the coming months?
I think oil prices could go up, definitely. I mean, yes, the United States is producing a lot of oil right now. But if you look at what's happening in OPEC, they've shut down the valve a little bit to try to boost oil prices upwards. We've got that situation. The Red Sea is not going away anytime soon.
Right.
But, you know, fortunately, we don't get a lot of oil right there from that route. We're getting a lot of the United States. We're self-sufficient in that regard.
Right.
So, but, you know, yeah, there's a reason why so many oil companies have done some big transactions this past year, because they believe that oil prices are going to go up, and they're buying companies now for a cheaper price than they can go in the future. So there's opportunities out there. If people are concerned about opportunities and getting ahead, they need to give us a call or you know, talk to one of our associates down at Armada Advisors, because we are charting a better course, as they say.
Yes, armadaadvisors.com. They've got that new location, 1800 North E Street. Or you can just give them a call, 850-497-6167. Somebody like me who, you know, well, I have zero assets, but somebody who doesn't have a lot of assets, what should they do? Should they just go ahead and call you? I mean, because I know a lot of people I talk to, they're like, well, I don't have enough to even think about investing. What do you say to them?
You got to begin somewhere.
Right.
I mean, that bottom line, you got to be getting somewhere. And I think that Fidelity is the best institution to do. When I wanted to set up Armada, I wanted to go with the best. And so by dealing with Fidelity, it was the number one. And a client the other day, I actually heard us from the show, and they said, you know, I deal with Fidelity, I got my 401k with Fidelity. I want a local guy to help me with that.
Right.
And so it was perfect, a good fit, and we're able to help him out and make him money for retirement. Because we're all heading there, you know.
Oh, yeah, we are. And it'll be a little bit of time for you, even though it's your birthday. Like I said, you only turned 28 once, so enjoy it today, sir, on this wet and rainy Tuesday. Thank you so much for joining me. I always learn so much talking to you. Go check out armadaadvisors.com, your local financial navigator through this crazy world. Thank you so much, Wesley. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.